Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
All right, Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. And of course, you know, 6 p.m. Nigeria time for us every Sunday to be with Lola Bade Aluko on Real Talk with Lola. Lola, are you there? And I'm sure she has some interesting guests today. Looks like a couple. Okay. All right, Lola, over to you.
I'm here.
All right, go ahead.
I'm right here. Like I said, I was a little bit. I'm kind of excited to interview this very young dynamic couple.
I can feel it in your voice. You've never been this excited. Last week,
I
was wondering.
Yeah, because I'll be very honest with you. Their story is a story of it's very inspirational. It's something that you read, but you just never. I mean, you read it like a storybook, but you never actually see it happen. And I'm actually seeing this one happen, and they are Nigerians. I'm proud to be linked to them because it just shows you that, like they always say, Nigeria they carry last. Anywhere we find ourselves, we make sure we make the best of the situation. My guests tonight are a couple, Ruben and Lucy, you know, very young couple, very dynamic. And I'm going to shoot fast because I want to get enough information for them to be able to inspire other young Nigerians and entrepreneurs getting into the business because, I mean, their story is so inspirational. So Ruben and Lucy, can you just tell us briefly about yourselves before we go right into the interview?
Okay.
Ladies first.
Okay, my name is Oluwatosin Abosede Ogundoina Okpoko, and yeah.
And I'm Ruben Irume Okpoko. In South Africa now since 2005. We came to South Africa as students, and then we ventured our paths into entrepreneurship.
Yeah. So I met Ruben back in Nigeria in 2001 because we went to Canadian University. So I remember I met him in the bank, and I said to him, "I like your slippers." And yeah, from there we were friends.
Ah, you were liking more than slippers then, oh.
Yeah, but yes, I think they liked more than slippers. Okay, Ruben and Lucy, I'm gonna one of the questions I've been wanting to ask you is this: this little meet in Nigeria. Okay, when you go to school, when you leave school, the next thing they expect you to do is go and work. Okay, but that never happened to you guys. You left school and then you went straight into starting your own business, okay? And especially in a foreign country, how easy was it?
It wasn't easy. We have gone through it, so I would say it wasn't easy at all in the beginning. Well, firstly, we came in on a study visa into South Africa. We had a study visa to study medicine back in 2005. So we had a 5-year visa. And then when we came into South Africa, we, as Lucy has mentioned, we were in Okada. We tried to continue medicine here in South Africa. But at the moment, at that time, the school wasn't recognized. So we had to start all over again from matric. So we started matric grade 12. And then I studied mathematical statistics. Lucy studied and had a background in metallurgical engineering. So I went to UNISA, and she went to Twani University of Technology.
And then just to add to that as well, is okay, like to your question, because I remember when we were coming, like we were like, you know, like you've gone to university for like 3 years, you didn't bring anything back home, and now you're in a foreign country, you're starting like from SS3, like in Nigeria, SS3. And then, so you were like black sheep of the family. Let me put it like that, because now your parents have spent like all the money. Now you are in this new country. And then I remember very well was that the money that we had to use to start the business was Ruben's last school fees that his father sent to him. But that money didn't go to him like directly, right? The money was first of all sent to like a school that he had to register in. And then the school said, okay, this money was too much. and then they would send the money back to Nigeria. And then somehow, you know how Nigerian kids are and how we are with our parents. And then the money now has to come back to him. But when it came back to him, it was not the amount of money we were anticipating. So I think it was broken down to like 40,000 rand. So another thing was because we had sold when we were students, we used to be like waiters and waitresses. We did like Avon, we did Angel. We tried to sell like small things just to like make ends meet, because you can't get money as like before, like as you used to get from your parents, right? So we had to just do like different stuff. So we now said that, you know what, let's put this money like into business. And at that time I was like in my final year in school, and I had to do like internship. And I was online looking for an internship, but I stumbled on people looking for hair. So I said to Ruben, you know what, I think people are looking for hair. Let's try it out. Let's see. So we just took a leap of faith and just put that 40,000 rand. It was his school fees. It was his final year at school. And if you don't pay your school fees, you will not graduate. So we had to then like take a leap of faith, order the hair extensions from the US. Yeah, from the US with that 40,000 rand. And then, yeah, we started from there.
We started from our one-bedroom apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah, back in Pretoria of 2008 or 2009, somewhere there.
Yeah, I understand. You said you took a leap of faith. Did you ever think, what if it went wrong? What if it went south?
There was no retreat. We burnt up bridges. There was no retreat. We didn't have that notion of what if it went wrong. We didn't have that at the back of our minds at all.
Because there was no, sorry to cut you there, because there was no, like, you know, like, your parents, like, because I remember when I said to my mom, I'm going to go into business, she's like, the devil has taken over your soul. Yeah, you know that Nigerian feeling, like, okay, this child, I've spent so much money, and now she says she wants to go into business. So I felt at that time for us, we had to just do this. It was everything that we needed to do to make it work. We did not understand the paths, the road. Like, nobody was there to guide us. Nobody was there to tell us, so this is how you should go. But we had to just figure it out by ourselves. Yeah.
Let me butt in here, because I've been listening, and looks like somebody influenced the other. So who is the risk taker? Who is the person that took the risk? Because yes, I like the leap of faith, but from a business perspective, it was just purely a risk. So who is the risk taker? Who said, let's go?
This is how it was, right? If Lucy sees something, and then I'm here to back her up. So she said in the beginning, this will work. I said, will this work? Are you sure? Then, okay, I came up with the finance, and then, okay, I say, let's do it. So it was a shared risk, if I may say it like that.
No, you took the bigger risk. It was your school fees. And you were... All right, okay. Now, working as, you know, a couple, okay. First of all, let me put it this way. If you were in Nigeria, do you think you would have taken such a risk?
Exactly.
What are the other external factors that would have influenced you or militated against you taking that risk? Because, well, I see you guys are all smiles now, but I'm sure it wasn't like that from the beginning.
No. You know, the question I ask myself every day is, if I'm not in a scenario, will this event still happen? For example, if I'm driving on the street, I ask myself this question: if I'm not there, will this car still be on the road? And the answer is yes. I cannot give you an honest answer, because we didn't start up in Nigeria. The know-how for Nigerian parts, I'm not so clued up about that.
But I think like, if we're in Nigeria, I think we wouldn't have gone this far.
Mm.
You see, because you have that influence, like, from parents. Because for a very long time, like, our parents didn't really buy like into the idea, because they just feel like, okay, so you are selling hair, you know, like, it sounds like weird, like, you're selling hair. So for a very long time, they didn't buy the idea, you know. It was after a while when they now see that, okay, no, this is what they are doing. They now eventually like had to take it, like, take it in and stuff like that. So I don't think, like, we would have gone this far even in Nigeria.
Okay, I want to ask a question now, going back to Nigeria. I mean, both of you were studying medicine in Nigeria. And you were supposed to, I mean, we all know the, I would put it, the kind of, you know, it's like overblown in Nigeria. You know, if your child is not a medical doctor, is not an accountant, is not an engineer, every other course, he just went to school to play. So I bet, how did your parents take it from you deviating from studying medicine, the almighty medicine? Yes. You know, you do, your mom and dad would have been mama doctor, baba doctor by now, you know? And then you just deviated into selling air. What happened? I mean, how did they take that?
For me, my honestly, I only told, my dad only got to find out that I was in business. Whenever he asked me, so what are you doing? What are you doing? He only got to find out maybe 2, 3, 4 years after the business was already in operation. So I don't know. Maybe he was hurt. I don't know. But he still insists, I must go to Harvard. I must go to this. I must go to that. You know, but, you know, that it hasn't, what this has taught us is that one can be successful in whatever you do. All you need to do is just put your heart, put your mind towards it, you know, and that's one can be successful in.
And for you, Lucy?
I think my mom, like, I think she was heartbroken. Like, first of all, you know how it is, because I remember when she came to school one time in Benedium, and then the HOD he said to her is, like, even the grass knows Lucy and Ruben in this school. You understand? So, I can't forget those things. Like, you know, like, she came and she said to her, like, even the grass knows me and Ruben, like, in this school. So for her, it's like, maybe a child went to school to go and follow man, you know, that kind of thing. So she was very able to say, okay, day, like, you know, I mean, old man South Africa, you know, that kind of stuff. So I think she was heartbroken, but yeah, but eventually she had to live with it.
You will come to realization that, you know, that's life.
Okay. Ari, you were going to say something.
Say that, I was going to say that working together or doing business together as a couple, you know, what are the major... Yeah, because even talking to you guys, I can see the interplay, I can see the chemistry. I know who is the boss and who is the big boss in all of this. But
who's the boss?
Don't worry, we'll get there before we go. You know, I'm just saying that sometimes it's not easy, husband and wife doing business together. Okay, so how have you guys coped, you know, with that? But you guys look like, well, not husband and wife. You look like Adam and Eve made in heaven, from what I see here. If the grass, knows Ruben and is in this school, okay.
What with Lucy? It has been fun. We have moment a feminine business, so I tend to play a down role. So I take the back end role, whereas Lucy takes the forward role. So our roles, we interchange between seven.
Yeah, so, but you know, like, how Nigerian men are, you know, like, okay, like Ruben said, so he does, like, he's very good in admin. That I never take from him. Like, I can't do his work, I can't do his admin part, but sometimes I always think is, if Ruben was not here, like, this business should not be so big as it is now, because it does, like, all the admin work, like, very, 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 like, intelligently, right? And then I do, like, the front end, like, I, like, do all the running around, do, like, all the advertisement and stuff like that. But then, you know how a typical Nigerian man is, like, you say, this thing, let's do it like this. But they want to do their own way. So we have those moments, but eventually we always have to come into, like, an agreement, because I know, like, Ruben's, I know his break points, and the way is, whatever he wants to do, because I remember when we were getting married as well, when we were about to clash, I just left everything for him to do. Like, I left everything for him to do. I only appeared the day of the wedding. Like, I only got to the wedding. I only got there, like, a day before. He did everything. So I know the kind of person he is. Yeah, so I think we know ourselves, and then we know, like, where everybody can crack. Yeah.
So I'm the organizer, the planner, everything on the back end.
Yeah, you are the bigger boss.
Is the boss being controlled by the boss?
Yes, so yes, yes, yes.
You know, now, so going back to the business, okay, one of the things I said was, I know it takes a lot, psychologically, emotionally, it takes a lot to start up a business, okay? And I've listened to your story. You've told us how you started from that your tiny little, I'm very sure there are days you went to bed without where your last meal was going to come from. You understand? There are days you have panic attacks, you know, like, okay, what's going to happen now and everything. But right now, I'm proud to say you guys have made a name for the natural hair products. You understand, in for Black people. It's something I would say it's a very, very big feat. It's not something very easily. But one thing I'm going to ask you, how easy, apart from your school fees and everything, in a foreign country, you know, now we're talking to the audience, how easy was it to access funds?
As a foreigner, you can't access funds here in South Africa.
I know.
That's point blank. You cannot. You must be a permanent resident or something. That's the only way you can have access to fund. And then once you get access to fund, then you have to fill a whole lot of paperwork before you can be granted still.
Yeah,
so that funding is not a joke as a foreigner. You know, they it's citizens first here in South Africa before anything else. What we have carried through our business is whatever we make, we always put back into the business. So that's what has attributed to our growth. You see, so we always keep on reinvesting back into our business.
So would you? I mean, one thing I would ask you is, many people believe, especially the young ones. Okay, you know what? I'm going to a foreign country. Or now, let us even just say business generally. I'm going to start a business. You have to have like a... Yours was a leap of faith. Okay, fine, we agree. Now it's no more a leap of faith. Now it's a business that is running. Okay. How would you advise a very young couple or a young person that has never worked? Because you guys have never really... You know, some people would have worked for like 5-6 years. You know, they would have enough capital to go right in. You were just lucky with the school fees issue and everything. But how easy would you advise somebody? Because nowadays, like I was saying to somebody, every young person there has like 10K. If they want to start a business, they don't look at they don't look into the future that, okay, what are the troubles I can run into? You understand? What are my setbacks? So how would you advise, especially Nigerians in diaspora?
I would say, I think times have changed and every country now has like very new regulations, because with us, we had to comply with like all the rules, all the DTI rules. And then, because we started by selling extensions, right? But as time went by and as the rules of the country started to change, we also had to align with the rules of the country. So if you want your business to be according to the country rule, like you have to do according to the country rule. You can't do jiga-jiga. You can't cut corners. Like you have to play according to the country rule. And that's the only way you will be able to succeed. Because if you want to like say, okay, no, let me do it like this, let me cut corners like this, then it's not going to work. So I think giving to Caesar what belongs to Caesar is very, very important. Because one thing as well that we had to also do is pay taxes. Like we didn't one day say we were going to like... evade the tax. So all those things are very important. Like you need to play according to the rule. Like if you want to make it in another man's land, like you need to play according to the rule. Because if you don't play according to the rule, remember also is the citizens of the land are also looking at you. Their eyes are also on you. And then if you try to cut corners, they can come for you. So it's very important to play by the rules.
And another my 2 cents contribution to this is, one, if you are a newbie, if you want to start up a business in a foreign land, you need to find a business that is very, very attractive to the locals. Because when we started our business, we did not create our business for the Nigerian community. We told ourselves from the point go, we are not creating this business for Nigerians. We are creating this business for our local, for South Africa. You understand? Because we would have had a limitation if we said, okay, I'm only going to create a business for Nigerians. If we look at the population, Nigerians are a lot lesser than the locals, you see. Okay. So that was our idea from the beginning, and that's what we kept on telling ourselves, that this is fine, our business, yes, we will not create our business for our local Nigerian community. We needed to be attracted to the South African community. And that's how we have managed to be sustainable.
Okay, when you say to the South Africans, I would have used the word to the black community, because you were dealing more with natural.
It's only now. It's now. Our business now, from selling hair, wig sleeves, to now selling hair care products. You see, when we started our business, a wig could cost 4,000 rand, 5,000 rand, 6,000 rand. And we knew that time, our local community, we were students then, not everyone were able to afford such amount. You see, so that was our thinking, to say, okay, now let's create this for our South African
black community. Okay, now going back into the same business again. Looking back, do you regret going into this business? Or would you have continued? You know the way it is. I'm being very logical. You know, people, I would have rather been a medical doctor, or I'm happy where I am.
No, it's funny enough, we just had that conversation just now. And I said, Ruben, do you know that? Before the meeting started, and I said to him, like, do you know that if we're still in Okada and we became doctors, you'll be depressed? I just said that to him now. Yeah, like, because the truth is, like, because we're living a life that, you know what, is you're trying to please people. And I think that's the biggest problem we have in Nigeria, is I'm trying to please this person and I'm going to live this life. So I think, looking back, for me, I wish, like, I had known this earlier. Do you understand? Because if I had known this earlier, and before my mom got retired from the Port Authority, I wish I would have just put that money into business earlier that time, right? You understand? If I knew this earlier, because I feel like if we knew what we know now, we would have gone way, 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 way very far. But even though we thank God for where we are now, but I don't regret like any action. I just, like, for me is, I'm living, I like to talk, I like to express myself, I like to do research. So I'm doing everything that I like to do, like, that I've been, like, you know, when I was young, I used to make big things, sell, like, even when I was at school, I used to sell things. So I feel I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, you see.
No regrets. My only concern is, you know, if only we had this opportunity a long time ago, you know, meaning if we were in business a lot sooner, say you come out of secondary school, you just start a business, but do it the right way, like they do here in South Africa, you know, with access. You know, back in Nigeria, let me not misquote, but back then when I was still there, entrepreneurship was not endorsed. You see, here in South Africa, you can see someone fresh out of school starting a business, but back home, you rarely find people doing such, you know. Back then, I don't know about now, but, you know, if things were a lot better in Nigeria, I think, you know, this whole entrepreneurship, people, as a course, people should start taking this a lot serious, because this, you know, you can get a lot better freedom wise, you know, determine your own time, your own income, start earning at a very, very early age. If you compare us here in Africa and those in the US, you know, there's a big difference.
All right, Lola, typically it's the half-hour mark, and we need to take a short break. Let me just tell you guys, okay, things are changing back home. Entrepreneurship has been encouraged. Some universities are now teaching it. And, of course, we said last week, the digital media space has encouraged or created the enabling environment for young people to start their businesses, but certainly not as good or not as smooth as what we have over there. All right, so Ruben and Lucy, we're celebrating you guys. We give you a piece of music that I'm sure you'd like, because your story looks like a leap of faith that God has a hand in. So this one is Korede Belu, God Win.
Maven.
I don't get a lot, God you win. And I don't pay my rent, God you win. There be one for my hand, but God you win. There be one keep my joy, but God you win. I say anything empty, now God you win. No, now God you win. No, now God you win, no. I don't change my name to Godwin. I no more, I don't buy more to Godwin. They say my market no go sell for Godwin. And then we say I no go blue for Godwin. Then my brother, let them try their luck. My God go win, no, my God go win, no, my Lord go win, no. As you don't pass exam, now God you win. And then we say you no go pass, for God you win. You wake up, see today last song, now God you win. Robbers, they rob, they no see you, brother. They no see you, my sister. Oh, yeah, better pass. Now God you win. No, now God you win. Now God you win. And he don't tell where you dey find, but God you win. See we go pop champagne today, God you win. And we go dey dance, 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 cause God you win.
Alright, the Ghost Spirit of Nigeria Radio. And of course, God win there by Corey Diaz. We'll celebrate the Opokos. Of course, something that started way back in Nigeria, manifesting and celebrating Nigerians in the diaspora. You guys are doing a good job from what I see. Okay, Lola, continue with them. And of course, I'll butt in as usual.
Okay, one question. Going back to the question I asked, I'm happy you guys said you have no regrets not doing medicine, okay? I personally feel that, okay, most parents, especially Nigerian parents, okay? Sorry, I'm trying to do something. Okay, we have just 10 minutes, sorry. Especially Nigerian parents, they tend to push their children to do a particular course. I as a psychologist, always say they try to leave themselves in their children. How true is that?
It's very true, because, you know, like, Sometimes I feel like because our parents could not do some things, then they want you to do it, right? But I also think that, you know, like my mom always says, like me, I'm like this. If I say I want it like this, I want it like this. Like you can't change my mind. Like you can't change my mind. And she knows this. And that's why she said, devil has taken over my soul when I said to her, you know what, I'm going to go into business. Like, you know, so because I remember her saying to me is, South Africa told Lloyd, South Africa that you are going to, if you go and you fail there, I'm not going to put my hands in your life again. You understand? Like, so it was like a threat already before I left Nigeria, you know, that kind of stuff. So, but for me is when I came here and I saw the way everything was, because I could not do medicine because I calculated the years. You know, 7 years plus 1 year is like 8 years. So I said, okay, if I can't do medicine, let me do engineering. Because the reason why I'm doing engineering is because I want to be rich. I want to help my family. I want to have that engineering name. But then it didn't work out. Like, I did not do the engineer. Like, I did not become that, practice as an engineer. You understand, right? So I had to then do something else. So I think if she also looks back, she will, she's proud. Now that she looks back, she's proud, because she always says that, you know what, my grandmother always says to her is, whatever this child wants to do, let her do it. But, you know, but she was still trying to force medicine or engineering mind. So
everybody loves a winner. So once you're successful, people will love you regardless. So, you know.
Yeah.
I was going to say so that, look, I think from the Nigerian context, it's always this attitude of, no, you have to be a doctor. Then if you end up being actually a mechanic and you become famous, they say, you see, I said it. I knew it was going to be successful. So that I just think it's just a Nigerian thing that we do. So, you know, looking back and now looking forward, I noticed that when we were talking, you said now I know you deal more with natural air and everything, and you have a little, is it like an academy where you train people basically yes. on what yes. to do? That is another that's another way forward for you guys. Now, what like we were talking the other day about you having franchising. Imagine, I know that a lot of people in Nigeria are into the natural air thing and everything. Out now, for the listeners out there wanting to know that, okay, you know what? Oh, there's this product in Nigeria made by Nigerians, and it definitely would be good. How easy will it be for them to be able to, you know, come in contact with you and, you know, maybe kind of get a franchise?
So I think they can always send us, like, they can always, like, contact us, like, through our email address. So it's info@rutos.com, or they can always go, like, into our DM, because on our DM we have somebody that is dedicated to answering, like, DMs is @rutos on Instagram, right? So that's our very active social media page. But at info, like, they can use info@rutos.com to send us, like, an email.
Yes. What I'm trying to find out is that will there be, like, a fee and everything? I mean, what would you take the person through, and what will it be? I mean, the person can't come to South Africa. They're in Nigeria. They're in Spain. They're in Sweden. They're somewhere else there in the world. But they want to go to the air products.
Sorry to cut you there. So what we do now is, like, they do register with an amount of money. It's 983 rand. So it's not really a franchise like that, right? So what they do is they become like associates of like Rutos. Yeah, like they become like an agent, yeah, of Rutos. Okay. So they register with 983 rand. And if they want to take it further, they can do like virtual classes just to know how to handle hair. So we have like virtual, like an online school where we teach them like how to handle hair, what product that they need to use. And they can always like order, because once you are an agent, you're able to buy at an wholesale price. Let me put it like that, discounted price, yeah.
So basically, what you are saying is that, which is what I want you to answer, is that it's not just you selling products. Now you are teaching people,
yes,
you know, how to make products, and then from there they can go on and sell and do whatever they want to do with it.
Yes.
Okay. I have a question, because I think
we need to just look at what is the scope of the business. Let them tell us a little bit, you know, so that if I really want to be an agent, what does Rutros do? You know, I've heard cosmetic. Do they manufacture? Do they have their own brand and all of that?
No, they can make. I know they sell lovely products. So for even that, your bald head, I'm very sure they have products that will make
my sister. I don't the old though. Now it's my mind. I didn't creep doing on me, and I'm asking myself. The Baba is telling me, Ogasi, this don't they go? All right. So tell us about your business, so that we can fully understand and appreciate how far you've come.
Basically, our business is broken down into two. One, product side, and then the salon side. The product side, okay. If you want to be an agent, you can register by purchasing a business starter kit. And the cost is 983 rand, which is about 25,000 naira. Okay. And with that, you are able to buy the product at wholesale prices. Okay. Then, if you want to undergo the training where we now certify you to become a Rutos accredited healthcare service provider, that training goes for 9,500 rand, and it's a 5-day training course.
Or 6 months online.
Okay. And that one, we do it at the academy. If you're not able to come to the academy, then we then do you at the online training platform in which we use. Okay. But it's basically, we teach you the basics, how to wash using the Rutos technique. How to wash, how to do a treatment, and then how to style the hair. Because in our salon, we don't use blow dryers, we don't use any heat pumps, or we only use the hair dryer and the hair steamer. So it's a different approach in which we present our salon to the public.
Oh, okay.
So basically,
it's all natural.
All natural,
yeah. So basically, to answer his question is, So we like into manufacturing of hair care products, right? Mm-hmm. And then we then also teach people how to use that hair care product to handle natural hair. And this skill that we use, right, is not very common, because in Nigeria they still use blow dryer. So we don't use blow dryer, we don't use heat, like Ruben said. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much for doing Nigeria proud. The Opoko's here. And of course, the natural question will be, when are you coming back home? When is Rutrus going to be seen on the streets of Abuja, Port Harcourt, or Lagos, the big market? Because you don't run commodity, so I go just look you. I wish I can talk to your mother now.
All right.
Before COVID, we were thinking of doing something small in Nigeria, but since COVID and due to unrest, so now we have to push it until 2022. Yeah, mm-hmm. So we will start having presents, if not later in the year, definitely 2022.
Okay, a question that we like to ask Nigerians in diaspora. Do you think, from your experience, that it's time for Nigerians in the diaspora to start voting and participating in elections in Nigeria? 2023 is here. Would you love to vote from out there?
Definitely.
Yes.
If I give you the opportunity, yes. Why not?
Mm. Okay. All right, Lola, I'm cool with them. And I don't know. Maybe...
Yes, like I said, unfortunately today, I'm going to be having to rush. Because I have to rush to another
session. Yes, I get session. You. Yeah.
Unfortunately. So from my side, Ruben and Lucy, my Oga already said it, I'm so, so excited. I'm really, really proud of both of you, okay? And you've really put Nigeria on another pedestal for me. I mean, getting to know you guys, seeing the things you've done. I mean, I'm based here in South Africa, and what it basically shows us is like everybody always says, not all Nigerians in South Africa are into the other things that they talk about. You understand? There are people like you that are putting us out there and making us extremely proud. And at the same time, you are trying to show the younger generation, especially yourself, that look, you know what, you can do it. Definitely. All you just have to believe, follow your dream, which I always tell people that if you decide to dance, put...
All right, it's still Spirit of Nigeria Radio, and Lola just signed off there. And of course, celebrating the Opokos in Nigeria, Nigerians in South Africa. Just be sure non-Spirit of Nigeria Radio continues as we end Real Talk with Lola this beautiful Sunday. Remember, at the top of the hour, to put time for Dr. Sharad with Dr. A.G. Ahmed in faraway Ottawa, Canada.
Wanna make love on the moon, dancing to my tunes. Easy to mind, it's not too much. I wanna be in forest, if wishes were horses. Easy to mind, it's not too much. If I want money, me, I do want dance, I practice dancing. If I want money, me, I'm all by my shoulder, I'm all by my foyer, yeah. I'm all by me. Hey, yeah, I wanna be a billionaire, yeah, yeah. I wanna be a billionaire, yeah, yeah. Wanna wake up in a Lamborghini?
I want to fly for Santorini. Make money, does he see me? Oh, yeah, yeah. If I want money, I do want to have a card. If I want money, I'm all by my issue, I'm all by my issue, yeah. I'm all by me. Hey, yeah. I wanna be a billionaire, billionaire, yeah. I wanna be a billionaire, billionaire.
Thank you. mi ngilondoloze uhambe nami zungangishilana oluwabona. I'm not perfect, I came from ruthless times as a juvenile. Look into my eyes, see pain and sacrifice. What's goes on my mind? Just trying to survive. Feel on the lose. Soon can be shilana. Tomaka yama wuru. Oti wuru si wuru. Emi won wa mini buru. Toju ku uju wuru. Mi ane te ju suri. Time sim suri. Lati karasi buru. Natu ikuro du.
Catch me never, as you know, if you catch me better.
Still Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. Remember, we are the authentic source of Nigerian information, positive Nigerian energy, positive Nigerian vibes. And today we have another interesting guest on our edition of Doctor's Round. All right, so on Doctor's Round today, Dr. A.G. Ahmed is there somewhere in Ottawa, Canada, doing his thing as usual. And today, he has a very, very interesting guest. Don't let me let the cat out of the bag. Let me hand over to him. But not before we play our sick tune, which takes us into Doctor's Round on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Anytime you hear that sick tune, you know it's time for us to go on the Doctor's Round with Dr. A.G. Ahmed. Over to you, sir. Begin your Doctor's Round.
It's nice to be back on Doctor's Round. Good day to everyone all over the world. My name is A.G. Ahmed, as you've heard, and it's your program again, Doctor's Round. When that sound comes up, you know the doctor is here. And today we're going to be talking on this favorite program about something very special. As you know, Dr. Sran is in partnership with Turn Nigeria, an organization that is particularly interested in transforming, uplifting, and reforming our great country, Nigeria. And today we're going to be following the usual procedure. We'll have a very important person in the house, the redeemer of my name, because I've had a lot of comments from listeners, and I'll tell you what the comments are. But this individual is going to be talking, answering a lot of questions about a very important topic. Thereafter, you will have the opportunity to call us on 0705-320-1010. And if you're coming from outside Nigeria, do not forget the code +234 0705 320 1010. On today's episode, we'll be talking about menopause. Yes, I have now broken the jinx of having only guys. Somebody said, AG Ahmed, what's the problem here? Are you being a sexist? No, I am not. And the person that is going to do justice to this particular topic and the redeemer of my name that I'm trying to do is Dr. Modupe Tunde Bias. Dr. Bias, let me tell you before you hear our voice, I'll keep that away from you. She's an obstetrician, a gynecologist at University of Toronto. She's been in this position since 2004, a medical graduate of University of Ibadan, of course, the university that comes after ABUA. Okay, I got the chance. You can't talk now. A fellow of the Royal Colleges of Obstetricians and Gynecologists in Canada and the UK, She has had so many positions academically, administratively, chief of ONG at North York General Hospital. She has had key quality initiatives and improved medical education. She has a special interest in early pregnancy research, early pregnancy complication, and she's really focused. You see, I've always wondered why women who have CS, cesarean section, we have to repeatedly have CS. She has been championing this initiative to ensure that they reduce this sort of repeated operation. A published author she is. However, she only sees herself as a teacher, a mentor, a mother, and a wife who enjoys traveling and empowering people. She's a philanthropist who is very interested in, global health, committed to giving back to her country. My apologies there, we're having some problem here with regards to interference. I think there's some fire alarm going on in the office. Okay, it's over now. My apologies. Listen to this. This is what our patients have to say about her. She's caring. She will explain everything you need to know. She's amazing, funny, and very knowledgeable. She made me feel supported. She's amazing. These are all the comments I've read about on the internet about this amazing person. Dr. Tunde Baez, welcome to Doctor's Round.
Thank you so much, Dr. A.G. Ahmed.
Thank you. So, to get this started, I think I'm having some problem here. Why don't I ask you to tell us about your best, the music you like to listen most? I mean, your favorite music. Because I remember we had my first encounter with you was in Saskatoon when I gave a talk on Fela and implications for mental health. And I saw this pretty lady dancing away. What's your favorite music?
You know what? You've said it all. It's Afrobeat, the king itself. So I am a Fela person, and so is my husband. So I think it's by default that I do love Baba 70. So we may his soul rest in peace, and we keep cheering for him, and we know it's almost like he's alive. So because his music, you know, forecasted the future,
right?
Many years ago. So I really love his music. Thank you.
Fantastic. So that is where I hope you're voting for Fela.
I have.
Can you turn on? You voted
already.
keep voting. Yes. This goes on till May. Anyway, let's come back to our round. Listen to this case. It was Christmas Eve. The temperature was 35 below with wind chills. I was on call. I walked into the nursing station, and there she was, a nurse in her late 40s. The windows were open and the fan was on. She was sweaty and a bit on edge. I complained about how cold it was, and she said something about disrupted sleep, hot flashes, feeling tired and not enjoying life as she used to. Brian, her husband, is doing very well, she said. We just bought a boat for next summer, and the boys are doing well at the university. AG, do you think I'm depressed? I didn't see any sign of depression, but I didn't know what to say. Can you help me?
Yeah, that sounds something very, very familiar, to be honest with you. And from what you've said, this lady is in her late 40s, right? So we want to ask her a few more questions, even though our topic today is on menopause. But for that lady, we need to find out if she's been having periods. If she has not had periods for 12 months consecutively, we will say that she's in menopause. But mind you, 5 years prior to that time, she could have been having these symptoms on and off. And that time is called the perimenopause, before even your period stops. So it's important that people realize that things could be happening even before the time that your period actually stops. But once the period stops for 12 months, you're in the menopause.
Go ahead. So the definition of menopause, really, what is it?
It's the permanent cessation of periods, menses, for 12 consecutive months. But this could be preceded 5 years prior, where you're having the symptoms, you're still having your periods, but all those symptoms of hot flashes, depression, mood changes could be occurring before the period actually stops for 12 months.
Wow. So what is the average age for menopause?
So in the literature, we usually would say 51 is the average age. But we know that people can have that transition year. Some people, it could be 5 years prior to that. Some people, it could be 5 years after that. So you have that 10-year gap, whereby you could go into menopause in between those 10 years, but it has to be no periods for 12 months. However, we still have a group of women who go through these changes before age 40, which is rather too early. But because they've stopped having periods for 1 year, they will be considered menopausal. So those women are going into menopause prematurely. So you can have 51, but you can also go prematurely.
Right. So the sort of age range would be from 45 to 51?
To 55 to 55 is a huge age range. Okay. Right. Things might be happening, you could still have your periods, or you may have no period at all. But menopause itself, no periods for 12 consecutive months.
Okay. Are there cultural differences in this age?
Well, you know, of course, there's nothing that is written in gold. And it also depends on where you are. We do have women who are still having periods, even into their 60s. Because there's nothing that says that age is 15. It's an average age. It could be before, it could be after. And it also depends on where you live. It depends on what you do. So there's so many other factors that may make this variation different from one country to the other. But mind you, once you finish having the period, that's the end of your fertility. Once you stop having periods, once you don't have periods for 12 months.
I can't let this go. I read in the Bible, somebody had a child at the age of 90. There's some people who even go farther than the 60, 70 that you're talking about.
Well, you know, in the Bible, we didn't know how the age was calculated, right? Age could have been different from our age now. But having said that, there's also miracles, right? If you believe in miracles, these things can happen. But you also hear on the news or you read somewhere else that there's somebody in India at the age of 70, she had a baby. So most times, if you really dig in, these are usually maybe assisted reproduction. They have been given some help. Right. But once you stop your period for 12 months, it's highly unlikely. I'm not saying it's not possible, but highly unlikely that you will be able to get pregnant, because truly speaking, that is the end of fertility for you as a woman.
Thank you very much, doctor. Now, can you tell me, how does a woman know that she's going through menopause?
Well, good question. The woman may know because her period starts becoming irregular. So she could start with, instead of her periods being every month, she could start to miss periods. It could be prolonged, it could be scanty, it could be more. So that's one aspect. The other aspect is that you start feeling moody. You may not realize that. Maybe the kids are saying, what's wrong with mom? You know, she's so edgy. And if your husband says something to you, he's like, are you kidding me? What's wrong? You know, so that's one. Not sleeping. You know, you sleep, you wake up, and you spend more time at night in the middle of the night praying, opening the windows, thinking, you know, are my feet hot? Is my ears hot? You go downstairs, you take a glass of water, you open the fridge, you get into the fridge because it's cool. You close the fridge, you put on the fan, you put it off, you cover your head, you're sweaty. Another time you're cold. So all these things begin to happen. And more importantly, sex drive. You may
say, What happens to that? Let me listen.
Now, if you haven't heard of that, there could be a reduction in sex drive. So, which means the interest is lower. Not because you don't want to, it's just not the thing on your mind. So your husband may be complaining, or he may not even know how to tell you. And the other thing is, it could be dry. You can have very, very painful sex. So that makes you not to even want to have sex because it's too painful. So these are some of the things that are happening, and they just don't start in one day. They start very gradually. So your husband may notice it. The kids may notice it. People at work may notice it. When the temperature is freezing, you left the windows open, or you have a fan in your hand, or people just don't know what to tell you because maybe there's something wrong. You know, your mood, it's low. You yourself may not even appreciate what's going on. So these are times that people need to understand that something is beginning to happen.
Wow. So there's this constellation of psychological symptom and physical symptom that may manifest in various forms. Okay, so the program is still Doctor's Round on Spirit of Nigerian Radio, and we're talking about menopause. Remember, you can call in at any time, and you can reach us through social media with your questions. Our guest is Dr. Mudupe Tundebayes. Dr. Bayes, you've touched on something very important, especially focusing on those constellation of negative emotions. But before we go on expanding on those, what is the biological basis? What is going on in my body? I hear the signs and symptoms. What's going on in the body of a menopausal woman?
Yes, very, very good question. So as you know, before the menopause, you know, when you're young, you have your normal levels of hormones, right? So there's an interplay between your estrogen levels, your progesterone levels, things are going okay. And these hormones are produced by the estrogen, right? So they make you look young, you know, the breasts are staying the right place, the vagina is nice, thick, capacious, elastic, there's good flow there, you know, everything seems okay, sex is good. After menopause, this level of hormones starts to reduce and that it's no longer produced. So all those things become reversed. Your ovaries are not making any eggs, or even if they do, they're just coming sporadically. They're not regular. So suddenly, you know, we all start to have some of these wrinkles. We begin to feel some changes. The estrogen in the body, don't forget, lines the vagina wall, which makes it nice and thick and makes a lot of secretion and makes sex even more comfortable. So when there's no estrogen, the lining is thin, the folds are gone, the elasticity is reduced, the blood flow to the vagina is also reduced, there's less secretion to the vagina, and on top of that, that estrogen that is low, you begin to have hot flushes.
Mm-hmm.
Some women also may find out that they have a little bit of hair under their chin because Some of them, they may have slightly elevated testosterone, but most times it's low testosterone. So women begin to have all the symptoms. And then because you are also not sleeping well, you begin to feel bad. You know, you're moody. You're not happy sometimes. But above all, some women may go through this menopause without realizing it.
Oh, wow.
They don't feel anything. Yeah. And they just go through it and there's none of these hot flashes. Unless you probe further, they may have some psychosomatic symptoms. They think, oh, something, you know, is happening. Maybe I just don't want to go out. I just have a low mood. But some women don't feel it. And some women will feel everything. And it impacts on their activities of daily living. They are not coping. And that's very scary.
Wow. So we better be, even guys, we need to be more understanding, know what they're going through and be able to provide them with some support that I hope you will talk about before the end of this program. But let me ask you something very important here. Is pregnancy still possible during or after the transition to menopause? Is pregnancy still possible?
So you remember those years when you're just beginning to go through menopause, those perimenopause, you're still making some eggs. They may not come every month. So they can come maybe once in 3 months, once in 6 months. So you could still get pregnant. The only time that it's highly unlikely is when the period has stopped for 12 consecutive months. So you would say to, you would advise women, that time of perimenopause, please do use some form of contraception, even if it's condoms, because you could still get pregnant.
Okay. You heard it from the doctor. If you don't want to spend those hard-earned retirement funds on bringing up babies, please use condom during those perimenopausal period. Is that correct, Doc?
Absolutely. You sure got that right.
Great advice. Great advice. Are there other causes of menopausal-like presentation apart from those related to hormonal changes?
Yes. So it's always good to have an open mind. So if somebody comes to you, if they're having hot flashes, especially if they're not within that range that you...
All right, it's still Spirit of Nigeria Radio. All right, Spirit of Nigeria Radio still, and I think that, yes...
we're having some breakup, I think, some connection problem, connectivity problem.
Yes, I think so from our end, from the doctor's end.
So what Dr. Bias was explaining to us, what she was going to be talking about, relates to... She's back on. Are you back there? It was just about... She's connecting.
I think we had some NEPA issues here too.
Thank God it's not from Nigeria today.
There you go.
My friend, there are power issues and NEPA issues all over the world. Take it from me.
There you go.
Right.
Welcome back.
Thank you so much. So like we're saying, so when you have those symptoms, you want to make sure that you speak to the woman and you take what we call a good history. You want to also examine this person. So one of the things that can cause all these symptoms could be thyroid disease, especially if your thyroid is overdrive and it's overactive. You can have menopausal symptoms like hot flashes, right? The other thing is that it could be the side effects of medications. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. So right, it could be, if you're on medications, it could be a side effect of your medications. And there are also some different cancers that can cause
all the symptoms like hot flashes. Then women who have undergone radiation, chemotherapy, their periods can stop and they begin to have hot flashes. Or if you have had some operation whereby they have actually removed your ovaries, it's almost like castration, you're not going to be having your periods and you could also have hot flashes. And there's a procedure that is also being done to treat fibroids. It's called embolization of fibroid. Sometimes that may also cut some of the blood supply to the ovaries and get women into early menopause. It's not common, but it's something to think about.
Wow. So there's so many other causes that can lead to these, and I'm sure your treatment will reflect that. Well,
absolutely.
We've come to that point that we're going to take a short break, musical interlude, and I know that you love Upper 70. And Toya has said that she's going to be kind to give us some nice music to reflect your taste. Toya, what do you think?
All right, since it's our first lady on Spirit of Nigeria Radio's Doctor's Round, I think she deserves that beautiful piece of music from Fela and Nicola Kokuti. This one is Lady.
Thank you.
If you call a woman, African woman, no go agree. She go say, I be lady, yo. No go free. She go say, I be lady, yo. If you call a woman, African woman, no go free.
Of Nigeria Radio, Lady there by Fela and Nicola Kokuti. This is still Doctor's Round on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Over to you, Dr. Eji Ahmed.
Welcome back, listeners. That was a classic music, the usual classic of Fela, Lady. And welcome back to Dr. Modupe. You see, menopause is not a disease, and I hate to use the word treat. But as I want to understand what help is there. It's a natural process, isn't it? So what is the help that is available for an individual? I want my wife to remain young forever, but she's not going to, right? So what is there to be done to assist?
So I think the first thing first, we need to accept it, that this is nature, this is life, and this has to be celebrated. Some culture, it's a way of liberation, away from having monthly flashes, saving money from buying sanitary pads and all that. Of course, in another culture, it's seen as a huge problem. Mm. So first foremost, we need to embrace it. Because if you think of the average age of a woman's lifespan in some countries, like 84, if you're going to menopause at the age of 51, that means you're going to spend 34 years plus, 30 years plus in menopause. So that's one third of your lifespan if you live to 80 something. So that means you've got to make the best of it. Okay. So we need to look at it and accept it, that this is nature and I'm going to make the best of it. So the way to look at it, one is support. Because if the people around you know what's going on, it's not a secret, especially our spouses. They need to know that my wife is going through this stage. It's not the time for rejection. It's actually the time for more love. So that would help. Then we need to now focus on some aspects. What can we do? So let's start from health promotion first. One, exercises. So we start from exercises to help our bone protection. Dietary control, because once you're in menopause, things like vitamin D, calcium, it's also reduced. So we want to eat food that are rich in those if we don't have supplements. And as we exercise, we also get stronger. Okay. Then we look at things like hot flashes. What are the things that can make these hot flashes better? Most women would improve within 5 years, even if they don't do anything. But some people may find themselves still having these hot flashes for 20 years. So let's start from the basics. Avoid spicy food, food that you eat and you're sweating, right? Smoking, alcohol, heat, stress. Even the clothes that you wear should depict this. You don't want to wear black clothes with long sleeve because they will make you sweat. So clothes that are light, maybe short sleeve, will help you with the hot flashes. Then anywhere you are, make sure you have something to cool you down, like cooling fan. Stay near a window. Okay. So those things will help. If the symptoms are feeling very anxious or depressed, antidepressant, very low dose. Anxiolytics, things that will reduce anxiety, they're also helpful. And antidepressants also help the hot flashes. Okay, so that's one other symptoms. The biggest one is the vaginal dryness. What do you do? You know, the loss, the sex drive, which is so low. How are you going to combat that? So, first thing first, you know, your partner needs to know that you're not faking this or you're just not having a low sex drive. He needs to find other ways to arouse you, okay? The vaginal dryness, you could use moisturizers. There are vaginal lubricants. There are also some local estrogens that are not absorbed into the rest of the body. All these things are just to make sexual intercourse much easier, and the local estrogen to help build back the lining of the uterus. And you may also find talking to other women, so you can kind of share your experience and find ways of supporting one another. So those are the conservative management before you even consider hormone replacement therapy. So these are things that you would do to see if they work. If they work, then you're home and dry. If they do not work, then we need to move on to other aspects of treatment.
Fantastic. One thing that you've said that is so important, I mean, you've said so many things important, but one thing is that support and understanding, because that actually helps a lot with the psychosocial complication associated with this phase of life. It's a matter of phase of life. We're all going through it. Some of us had head full of hair. Then what happened? We lost the hair. Guys lose the hair, right?
Yeah.
And of course, some of us, you know, before John was always up. Of course, John is tired now. Testosterone is getting low. Estrogen is getting low. Be close. And some people have said even this is a time where, I'm not talking about religion, spirituality, belongingness, having a goal so that you can direct those goals and derive joy in other ways in togetherness. I think these are very important factors in managing this transitional period of our life. Now, you talk about hormones. Why don't you just give everybody estrogen and let us continue to enjoy life in bliss? Why not?
So, you know, the reason we don't is because there was a study called the W Health Initiative Study, which was done many, many years ago, where they gave women between age 50s to in their 70s, they gave them hormones. And they found out that a lot of them came back with complications, breast cancer, stroke, blood clot, even heart attack. So there was now a pushback into why we should be giving women hormones. So there was a period where everybody went off hormones, which is not the way it should be. You can still give women hormones as long as you choose the right women for the right treatment. So that is where your history becomes important. You do not want to give it to a woman who has a history of breast cancer, who has a heart disease, uncontrolled hypertension, blood clot. They've had previous heart attack in the past. So if there's none of those risks, and this person has tried all those conservative managements that I have discussed, and they're still not coping, especially with the hot flashes. They're not sleeping. They cannot stay awake during the day. They can't drive without falling asleep behind the wheels of their car. Or they can't stay at home with anybody. It can't work because they are so moody. Those are the women that you have to consider giving hormone replacement. So hormone replacement is, in essence, is only for women with severe vasomotor symptoms. We say vasomotor symptoms, those are hot flashes that has not been controlled by any other form of treatment. That is the only people that you give the hormones to. It also depends. If the woman has a uterus, you do not want to give her estrogen alone because she could be predisposed to developing cancer of the uterus. So you have to give her both the estrogen and the progesterone together so that there's a balance in those two hormones. But if she's had her uterus removed, then you can give her estrogen alone. But it's important that you recognize the reason why she's taking the hormone replacement therapy. It's not to become a youth. It's not to become to function like a 25-year-old. It's because of severe vasomotor symptoms that is not controlled by any other treatment.
Right. So the indication for hormone replacement therapy would be major indication would be these hot flashes.
Yes, severe hot flashes. Not responding to any other treatment that is not hormonal.
When you start this hormone, do the menses return?
Right. So when you start these hormones, if you're using both, you have to calculate the estrogen and the progesterone. Ideally, they should not come back. The period should not come back. But if it does, then you have to investigate that and make sure it's not due to something else in the uterus causing the bleeding.
Right. And what might that be indicative of?
Cancer of the uterus. Cancer of the uterus. That is the most important thing. So if you bleed on those hormones, you need to be investigated by your doctor to make sure that there is nothing inside that uterus, especially cancer, that could be causing the bleeding.
I have a question here, doctor. Somebody say, at what stage will you consider a second opinion following from your last discussion in the management of menopause?
So if, you know, second opinion is always good, okay? And we always have to incorporate it into medical practice. It's not a way to say, you know, for somebody to question your judgment, but if the patient asks for it, you can. If you're not sure, you can. So if somebody has menopause before the age of 40, that's premature, right? It is too early. They could have other things wrong with them. So thyroid could be an issue. Maybe they have some cancer. So sending them to an endocrinologist will not be a bad thing to exclude any cause that can be treated. So I will seek a second opinion in those kind of patients because it's too early for them to have to go into menopause.
Thank you. I have another question here concerning the mood changes. Can the doctor comment on mood changes around menstrual period for non-menopausal women?
Right.
Mood change, I think they're talking about
PMS.
PMS, yes.
Yes. So women can have PMS. Even the PMS could also get worse around the perimenopause. So for some reason, around this time of period, women have depression, they're angry. Sometimes they're even suicidal. And these symptoms goes away once the period is over, which means it has something related to the period. And nobody knows exactly which hormone is at fault. However, you can try to alleviate those symptoms because if it's something cyclical, that means it has something to do with the estrogen and it's happening every month. In that case, you can take over that menstrual cycle by suppressing the menstrual cycle. So for those kind of women, if you put them, try them on oral contraception back to back, maybe for continuously for 3 months without stopping, so that those cyclical mood changes, you can actually delay them maybe to once every 3 or 4 months rather than having it every month. And those kind of women do well. Otherwise, other things that people have used in the past, which I haven't found it to be effective, with things like vitamin B6, vitamin B12, you know, try all those things. But I find that if they're not having their period every month, you would reduce all those mood changes. That's from the hormonal aspect. The other aspect is that if the PMS is more of depression, psychiatric issues, we send them to psychiatry and see whether they need some antidepressants or whether they need anxiolytics. So we work hand in hand sometimes with somebody like A.G. Ahmed and send them to that. Well, I don't know what else to do. Can you suggest some form of treatment for women with severe PMS?
And I think you just preempted another question from a lady in Abuja. She said, my daughter lives in the United States. She has complained of these mood changes. I'm a nurse and I work here and they have started her on antidepressant. We do not have depression in my family. Should she be taking the antidepressant or go on hormone treatment?
That was the question. Good question. So one thing we need to know is that first, you need to trust the experts. And from our culture, once we hear antidepressant, we think, oh God, my daughter is crazy. My daughter, there's something. why are they giving her medication? She can, do you really need medication? Why can't you just pray and this thing will go away? Some of those things, they do need them. So if her symptoms is more of depression, then she may find antidepressants or something to alleviate those anxiety might be helpful. Otherwise, if she's still not getting better, then you may want to try the hormones. But the aim of the hormones is not for her to be having this every month. It's too much. So she may take all the hormones, say, for 90 days consecutively and then stop and then have a period. And in some situation where it's so bad, we leave them on the contraceptive pill for a very, very long time, so that they don't get those fluctuation in hormones. So if the doctor thinks she needs antidepressant, she can take it, because that may be the major symptoms that is affecting her during the PMS cycle.
Thank you very much. I think this person is really interested in this topic. She also write and said, does she have to continue on the antidepressant whilst he taking the contraceptive?
So if she's taking the contraceptive pills and it's she doesn't have periods, so you've already eliminated the PMS because she's not having periods. So she doesn't need the antidepressant, okay? So because the PMS is what we're attributing to the cause of the depression. But if she's still depressed whilst taking the antidepressant, then you need to look at why is she depressed. What are there other reasons for depression? So you need to screen for those before you continue to give her the antidepressant. So she must have a thorough assessment before you decide whether she goes off it or not. Because at the end of the day, you want somebody to be well psychologically so that they can function in this kind of stressful environment that we all live in and work in.
Thank you very much, Doctor. I think just to buttress your point, you see, there's this entity we call comorbidity, i.e. the existence of more than two disorders or diseases or illnesses in one individual. Menopause is not a disease. It's not a disorder. It's a natural change that occurs in us as we age. However, an individual who is menopausal can also have depression and anxiety. So can any other person at any stage. So that means that you could treat both with the physical concern and the mental illness. Remember, no health without mental health.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Doctor. I have a question here. Somebody just texted, can lifestyle choices affect early or later development of menopause?
Yes, of course. Anything can cause you to go into early menopause. So, for example, unfortunately, if some people have some cancers, unfortunately, or they have radiation therapy or chemotherapy, those things can cause early menopause. Smoking, drugs, you know, the hard drugs can send you into early menopause. And some people, alcohol too. So we do find people who are alcoholic, the chances of going into early menopause is much higher than somebody who does not drink at all.
Thank you very much. So these are lifestyle changes that one should embark on earlier on as preventive measures so that you don't have all this. Have regular exercise and, of course, stop smoking, reduce your alcohol intake, and so on and so forth. Are there myths about menopause? Are there some things that are not really true?
You know what? There are myths. And I remember when I was growing up, I used to think that hot flushes or these things do not occur in African women. That's not true. That is not true. It's the way that it's perceived and it's the way it is expressed. So You know, if you remember, our mothers can say, oh, I'm going out, and they use those fans, and they're fanning themselves. Yes, and they're fanning themselves, right? So we notice those things, or they're walking sometimes barefooted. They take out the slippers and say, well, I just want to put my leg in the on the concrete. Those are hard things so that's one thing. And some people also think that, you know, when you're in menopause, you're going to lose your mind, you're going to gain weight, you're going to have terrible life. It's not always true. However, we do know that some people complain about weight gain. All right. So what I usually say to people is that you have to eat, you have to exercise 10 times and eat 10 times less.
Oh,
because yes. So you must exercise, because, you know, it doesn't take time for things to start going around your waist, because, you know, you feel your life feels so good. You're not having PMS, so you're eating all the time. It's easy to add weight. So you need to keep up with the exercises. Some people also think menopause is an illness. Like we said, it isn't. It's actually a phase to be celebrated. Okay. So whatever we do, we need to embrace that time and make it our own. Can you get pregnant if you have not gone through your 12 months of not having periods? Yes, you can get pregnant. So you do need a minimum of condoms, or some people will tell you they do interrupted coitus, which means withdrawal method. But whatever you're doing, you want to make sure that you're very careful. Then people also talk about not having sex after menopause, that once menopause is done, in some culture, you're not supposed to have sex. Indeed, this is even the time to have more sex, because if you don't have sex, the vagina has lost its elasticity. So it doesn't expand as it used to be. So you can imagine not having sex, it becomes like a lead pipe. So you've got to continue to use it, because if you don't use it, you lose it, right? That's the saying. So more lubricant, more sex, and make sure that you keep what it's yours and you want to keep it for a long time. Then not everybody needs hormones for hot flashes. No, you don't need hormones. You need those conservative management. You need to try the cooling method, wear light clothing, you know, alcohol. Avoid that. Avoid spicy food. And just as much as possible, exercise. And speak to other people and engage yourself in other things so that, you know, you can still have a healthy lifestyle. Not everybody needs hormones, and you don't have to have one when you're in the menopause. So those are some of the myths that we see in day-to-day times, and we always encourage women to own this time.
Let me make a confession. Of all that you've said, I enjoy everything that you've said, but I have a problem with one thing. It has to do with this spicy food. Man, how are you going to cope with that? That was just a joke. I know. You can retrain your taste buds. Because a lot of people like it.
Even if you eat it, just keep your fan beside you, right?
There you go.
Eat it and put on your fan. So the fan helps you with that.
And if you have a stubborn husband like me, saying that I need it spicy, so you tell him to hold the fan and fan you.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. Yeah, I have another question here from one of the listeners, and I'm going to get it on in 1 minute here. They just sent it, and it has to do with having menopausal symptom at age 30. I think you've answered this question, but they said, what's the explanation for early menopause, early onset? You explained it earlier on.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yes. So some women, like I said, if you have menopause before 40, that's not normal. Some people can have transient hot flashes. It happens. It goes away. Nobody needs to worry about that as long as you continue to have your period. But if you're in your 30s and you're continuously having hot flashes, okay, and you're still having your period, that means it's not menopause. So you need to exclude your thyroid disease. That's very, very important to make sure that you don't have any other things that is presenting as hot flushes. If your medications, look at those medications that you're on. What medication can be causing you to have these hot flushes? But if the hot flushes in transit, it comes and goes, and your doctor checks your hormone and your FSH level, your FSH level shows the state of your ovaries. If it's within the normal range, you're not in menopause. And if he excludes everything like the thyroid, your medications, if those things are fine, well, I think life is cool. You can don't have things like anxiety as well.
What's FSH?
Follicular stimulating hormone.
Okay. So
follicular stimulating hormone.
So it's a hormone in the body. So
in the body, that's
yeah. So basically, one of the things we encourage here actually is that we want a well-informed patient population, a population that can ask their doctors, because the quality of service that you get as a patient can be reflected by your knowledge. We learn every day from our patient. As a physician, I learn from my patient. So if I have an informed patient, I'm probably going to understand better. So if they can ask questions about necessary investigation, I think it could go a long way to give everybody good health, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
We are still listening to Doctor's Round on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. We're almost rounding up. I wonder if Dr. Modupe has any other thing, any other advice you wish to offer our listeners on menopause. You've done an excellent job. Any other advice?
So what I think we need to do is that when should you be seeing a doctor? Because it's very important, like you said, you want to be very well informed. So we know that the average age of menopause is 51. This is just an arbitrary number, right?
Yeah.
So, but remember, if your period starts becoming erratic, you cannot either put a time into it. It's all over the place. You want to begin to think, and you also want to see your doctor, okay? If you're not sleeping well, or you're depressed, or you're having those vaginal dryness, think about it as, I think this change might be coming. How am I going to embrace it and make it my own? Having a conversation, people might be laughing that I have a conversation with my husband, but you want to tell them that, you know, it seems like this thing is beginning to come. You know, I what do we do? So everybody kind of understands it. If your hot flashes is not getting better and your life is miserable, you know, you can't continue like that. You need to seek help. Okay. You need to seek help. You may benefit from the hormone replacement therapy. And one thing, thing I must leave you with today, if there's something you did not gain out of this, once you've stopped having your period for 12 months, that is it. If you have one drop of blood on the 13th month, that is abnormal. You need to run to your doctor. That will be called postmenopausal bleeding. And the commonest reason for that is vaginal dryness, but your doctor must make sure that you don't have the cancer of the uterus. That is one message I need to leave you with today.
Thank you very much, Dr. Tunde Byers. It's been a pleasure to have you on Doctor's Round, and we appreciate your contribution to this program. But the doctor has to be off now. Until next week, I'd like to thank you for coming. I'd like to thank our listeners. Sorry about the disruption, the NEPR, and of course the phone line, and so on and so forth. We're getting better every day. I'll see you next week on Doctor's Round. Have a splendid week.
All right.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you, Mr. Toye.
All right. Thank you very much. It's still the Spirit of Nigeria Radio, and that's the wonderful edition of Doctor's Round today, and we were talking about menopause. Spirit of Nigeria Radio continues, and of course, it will be time for Afrobeat Sundays only on Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.